Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're very proud of that.
I imagine you are. We're with Roland Schwinn. He's the headmaster of Collier School. It is a K-12 school in North County, San Diego. And you have been nominated for the North American Education Council's prize. Is that it?
The prize, Phil, is the Educator's Idea of the Future Award.
Educator's Idea of the Future, and it carries a cash prize of $50,000. And also by the Educators Conference on Scholastics.
That is correct.
All right. Your idea, and for those of you just joining us, there's a radical concept that, Mr. Schwinn, probably you ought to present to us. This is respected by educators.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it's respected by educators. I think the important thing that we have to think about is that SAT scores in California and across America have been flattening.
SAT scores, is this a test taken by juniors and seniors?
That is a test taken by juniors and seniors, that is correct. There was a time, and I'll just tell you a little anecdote, Phil. There was a time when being a California educator meant that you were almost like a rock star. I would go to teacher conferences across the country, and everywhere across the United States of America, we were acknowledged, we, the California teachers, were acknowledged as the best in the country. Our schools were acknowledged as the best in the country. That has changed a little bit.
Well, these SAT scores are flattening, but let's talk about your proposal before the National Educators Conference on Scholastics to reward students for good grades using sex.
Let me back that up.
You acknowledge that's primarily...
That is at the very matrix of the idea, but let me back that up. We've been seeing these flattening SAT scores. It used to be that California educators were the cream of the crop, were the envy of the country. I have gone to 3 consecutive conferences now, and I don't even get so much as a drop dead or a go to hell or how are you, nothing. Now, that to me is shocking. Whereas 10 years ago, I would be acknowledged. Oh, you're from California. You're a teacher? I'd say, yeah. Are you from California? Yes. Please, take my chair. Please, can I buy you a drink? These kinds of things.
So you guys, California schools, obviously, I was educated in California, so I know it's a very prestigious thing.
That is correct. Now, I can't get anybody to pick up a drink? These are the things that we're talking about. But beyond that...
Well, forget about whether anybody's going to pick up a drink, because...
No, I understand that. But what I am saying is we do need to get our SAT scores up.
But you are proposing rewarding 15-year-olds on up, and if I'm reading this correctly, with sex. You propose to introduce kids 15 and on up to sex in exchange for good grades.
That was my original intent, and it has been ratified, I'd like to say, by 300 educators at the high school and middle school level across this country.
So your idea to reward kids who get good grades, we're talking about junior high, middle school?
No, we are talking, and please don't twist my words, we are talking about juniors and seniors, that if they, and it can be a sliding scale, if they get certain grades, good grades, intercourse, and forgive me, I don't know a blowjob, I don't...
Please, see, what we have to do now is, because we're getting into some delicate areas, okay?
I understand that.
Please just say sex. Now, I understand there's a sliding scale that is...
My mistake, forgive me.
That's fine. There's a sliding scale ratified by 300 teachers and the National Council on Educators Conference on Scholastics.
Yes, and I have been nominated for the Future Idea of the Year Award. This is...
Well, it'll never happen.
I beg your pardon?
It's never going to happen. You can just... In my opinion, sir, your idea to reward high school students with sex if they get good grades, no parent in the world is going to go for it, and, giving the kids the right to have sex for good grades and probably... It's probably going to strike some as the height of societal decadence, okay?
Well, the problem is, Phil, they may not have to allow it if educators allow it. See, we are faced with...
Well, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well, let me explain. We are faced with...
What are you saying? That you're going to let the kids have sex and even the parents say no?
The parents, right now as an educator, we are in a rock and a hard place. I get phone calls from these Neanderthal parents who think they've got the answers to everything. I've got their stupid kid in my class. You see what I'm saying?
So in other words, you just go right ahead and let the kid have sex with or without the parents?
If that's what we have to do, yes. And
well, let me inform you then of this, that there is a law against pandering in the state of California. It's a felony, and it's a law against contributing to the delinquency of minors. And
that's a law that won't be enforced.
Why?
Because the state of California is reliant on federal money for education. California is not going to enforce a law that is going to keep the SAT scores down. And if the other states know what's good for them, they are going to begin to reward their students, and I say yes, reward them with some form of intercourse or manual manipulation sexually, some kind of...
Okay, we can just say sex, because again...
Forgive me, but I say this is very important. And
so you're going to go over the head of parents, you're going to go around the law, and you're going to do this, right?
This is something we have proposed. And if I win the Future Idea Award, which I anticipate that I will, at this year's seminar in Denver, Colorado, come November, yes, I will endorse this for the state of California.
This is a very radical idea. We're talking with Roland Schwinn. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And he is proposing that students are rewarded for their good grades with sex. Juniors and seniors, correct, sir?
Juniors and seniors, yes. And I can hear in your voice this sort of incredulity.
Well, you're saying you're going to do it whether the parents like it or not. You're saying you can get around the laws of pandering and contributing to the delinquency of minors in the state of California. Let's talk about health. Let's talk about the mental well-being of a kid.
Let's talk about that, Mr. Hendry. I'm always amused when I hear parents say that there is some kind of a psychological... a trauma to be visited upon a young person who has sex. We have seen Porky's, American Pie 2. If you've seen Animal House, if you've seen any of the colloquial expressions of youthful sexual interest, you can see that there are generations of young people that have not been scarred. And
what has Porky's got to do with this? You know,
kids get good grades and learn hands-on sex education with our proposal. It is revolutionary. It is radical, but that is why I have been nominated. And again, I want to stress, I've been...
Yeah, nominated for the Future Idea of the Year Award by the National...
Well, please don't minimize what is something I'm very proud of.
Sir, I forgive me, I know that you're proud of that. All right, what about health? Who are they having sex with?
This is something that can be answered at our teachers' conference and seminar.
Well, answer it here. Who are they having sex with?
We can provide surrogates. The students can elect to have sex with each other. Certainly health is a consideration, and we do provide whatever protection. This is, I believe, the last step. This is the key, finally, to the lock that will open, hopefully, the door of a burgeoning educational renaissance in our country. Yes, it's radical, Phil. And yes, it is a stretch to understand, but I'm an educator.
You are going to have a whole-scale revolution on your hands if you provide sex for students from parents, from church groups.
Mr. Hendry.
No, from parents, from church groups, and from the students themselves, I would imagine. Some students are not going to go for this.
We have been dealing for years with the Neanderthal attitudes of parents. We have been dealing for years with the Neanderthal attitudes of church groups, and certainly we've been dealing for years with the precocious notions of our students. This is something that we can handle. I don't want to offend anyone, but you might as well be asking me to swat a fly because it...
Oh, swatting a fly. You'll just be swatting a fly. Now, I've just got the facts here. Sliding scale. If you get an A, sexual intercourse. Is that correct?
That is what we're proposing at this year's summit. Now, we may ratify that for our convention in June.
Well, never mind where it's going to happen, but that B for manual manipulation.
You don't want me to use masturbation.
Now, never mind, but that's what you're saying, right?
That is what we're proposing. Now, again, I've been nominated for the National Scholastic...
Educator? I got the whole thing.
This is a cash prize of $50,000. This is an acknowledgement on the part of fellow educators that I have forward-thinking, radical, revolutionary, and apocalyptic ideas. Now, at our Teachers Think Tank Conference, which happens in Tacoma, Washington, in December... We will ratify the particulars as to whether or not you're going to get it. Let's just talk about the way that you get to have, you know what I'm talking about.
No, what?
If you get an A, you get to...
Yeah, okay, sex.
Yes.
And you're going to ratify that...
At the Tacoma...
Who cares where it's going to be? I got to take a break and forgive my anger, okay?
Well, your anger... anger is understandable. I think it's a little bit unprofessional.
Well, then forgive me, sir, but you're on my program proposing. So, you see, I'm a parent, okay? I got a 15-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
You've got a 15-year-old son?
Yes.
I would think he would endorse and welcome this.
Well, obviously, all right, but I don't even think he'd know what. And you know what? I would go against this.
You don't really have anything to say about it.
I'm a parent, and I don't have anything to say about it.
No, sir.
Why wouldn't I have anything to say about it?
Because I'm a teacher. I'm an educator.
Why wouldn't I have anything to say about you providing sex for my student, my kid?
Because I'm the educator. I went to school. I've got the master's degree. You're doing, and forgive me, I'm sure you're good at what you do, but you, what is that? You're a what?
I'm a talk show host on the radio.
Yeah, but that doesn't take any education. I'm the teacher. And
well, I'm the parent, and I say no, you don't get to.
You may not have anything to say about it, Mr. Henry.
We'll see about that, sir. Please hold on.
I'll think of
1-800-4... Excuse me, folks, for getting upset. Roland Schwinn is the headmaster of a K-12 in North San Diego County. How do we get those SAT scores up in California and the rest of the country? Provide our juniors and seniors in high school with sexual reward. Using surrogates, using other students, and condoms, you can promise a student sex, and the scores go up. And he's been nominated for the National Future Idea Award, or whatever the heck it is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And you have to deal with the idea that some students want to get what they call a stink on.
All right, well, we're on the air now, okay? So, again, you have to watch how you phrase things, if you don't mind.
I forgive me, but, Phil, this is very important. Students need to get their SATs up. And
by the way, what does SAT stand for?
I'm sorry?
What does SAT stand for? These are tests that our high school students, what does it stand for?
It's a test. It's some kind of a, I know what the test is.
You're nominated for the National Future Bright Idea Award or whatever that's called.
It is the Future Idea Award from the Educators Council on Scholastics.
Okay. What's SAT stand for?
Do you know?
No, I don't know. I'm asking you.
And you're a parent?
Yes, I'm a parent.
Why don't you know?
Because...
Yeah, so you're asking me a lot of questions, aren't you? It stands for Super Academic Test.
All right, Super I didn't know.
All right.
Let's go to Carla on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Carla, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I have something to say to Mr. Schwinn, is it?
Yes, Roland Schwinn.
Mr. Schwinn, you said that the parents will have no say, but Mr. Schwinn, you must understand, you are my employee.
Well, figuratively,
yes. For your job.
Figuratively.
And you have to understand, excuse me, let me finish. I've listened to you prattle on and on about this.
I don't prattle. I'm an educator, and I try to make salient
points. And you know
what?
For all your education, you're one of the most ignorant men I have ever had the displeasure of listening to.
I am so furious. The very fact
that you could say...
I think personal characterizations don't belong in this
parents
conversation.
Parents will not have a say. Do you understand there's such a thing as homeschooling? The parents take an active interest in their children?
Carla, with all due respect, I doubt...
And it's not academic test. It's standardized achievement test.
Carla, with all due respect, I don't know whether you're up to the task of homeschooling. Let me take a guess. Do you carry
you
a little extra weight?
You don't know if I'm
weight?
Up to the task.
Do you carry...
I know you're not up to the task.
Do you carry extra weight?
There is such
weight?
A thing
yes
as homeschooling,
no?
And I am telling you there would be a mass exodus.
I don't think you can homeschool
in your school. I would be surprised. Ma'am. If you have any students left in your school...
Well,
come after the holidays.
Let's let Mr. Schwinn, you had a comment.
Well, you may pay part of my salary, but you put me in charge for the best interest of your child.
No,
there's
I didn't. And if it were up to me, I would remove you
and
immediately.
And it's for my forward fit. Now, I would also ask you this. I don't think you can be 40 to 50 pounds overweight and homeschool. See.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because I'm guessing this lady carries a little extra weight. Am I right?
No, actually, I don't.
All right, my mistake.
What's that got to do with anything? You're way off base here, man. And this idea that you're going to give an A for, what is it? How did you put it here? Getting some stink on.
That is intended for the students only. That is
getting
let me explain.
Mr. Schwinn, to know what your sexual experiences were as a young man, because it seems like
you
didn't get enough. And so you're trying to make sure everyone else does.
I'm certainly not trying to get you laid. I'm trying to help students find out.
You know, you sound more like some guy that runs a frat house than a guy that is a headmaster at a K-12.
He sounds more like someone that runs a cat house.
No, I will tell you that I use colloquial phrasing that my students understand so they realize what we are up against. And
are you already publicizing this among students?
Look, I got tons when I was a kid. I had very, very... I have a lot of good friends and good
girlfriends. Not if you have the radio voice that you have now.
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you think it means?
Oh, well, you sound like you have labored
breathing. To me, given your voice, I would guess you didn't get a lot, because any man that'll say on the radio, "I got tons," is probably not telling the truth.
I got more ass than a saddle.
Would you like to deal in more hypotheticals, Mr. Schwinn?
I got more ass than a saddle, and I resent very much...
Oh, boy, more ass than a saddle.
Really? Yeah,
that's right.
Would you like to know what I resent? I'm a parent.
You are a parent?
I gave birth. I carried it.
You
are
gave
you
birth to an idiot.
Schwinn?
You gave birth to a kid whose SAT is flattening out, and then they come to me and bellyache about it and say, how do we get the SATs up?
No,
I'll tell you
no,
how
sir.
I get the SATs up.
I'm going to
get your kid's ashes hauled for the first time in his life.
Mr. Schwinn,
and as a headmaster, I beg your pardon?
Do you have children?
Unfortunately, I'm not able.
You're not able.
No.
So you have no idea what you're talking about.
As a headmaster, I don't need to care what you resent. And they don't call me headmaster
so
for nothing.
So it's a matter of education.
Yes, it is.
What if
and
I were to tell you I had a PhD?
You had a penis?
She didn't say that, and you know she didn't say that. She said PhD.
Actually,
well, so
I don't
have I'm not allowed to joke.
I'm an MA, and I work for a urologist. So I probably know more about penises than you do, Mr. Schwinn.
Well, I don't doubt that you do, Carla. And
in fact,
I'll tell you,
I'm
glad the surgery was successful.
Right now.
All right, look. Thank you for your call.
First she's a PhD, then she's an MA.
Well, there you are with all of this, my ashes hauled and getting some stink on and everything else.
Those are colloquial terms I use with my students.
I think it's wrong for you to be already talking about the students. Hey, I can get you laid if you get good grades.
I don't put it that way.
Well, that's what the way you're putting it on my show. Here is Love on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Love.
Hi.
How are you, dear?
I'm okay. Just a bit upset.
Is that your name, Love?
That's my name.
Isn't that my first name. Isn't that a beautiful name?
That's a what?
I'm having lunch right now, Love. Go on ahead.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks. You know, first of all, as an educator, you are not an educator. You might be a teacher, but you're not an educator.
With education
comes...
Excuse me. Love, could you hold on for a minute? Are you eating? Sure. Dr. Schwinn, are you eating?
I'm having some lunch, yeah.
Well, we can hear you eating, so if you could...
Forgive me.
Go right ahead, Love.
I mean, he's been so disrespectful to you and to the audience in general. I do not call talk show hosts, but as a parent, I think it's very disgraceful. It's very demeaning.
It is demeaning. What's demeaning?
If the children are already having problems with learning something, does sex solve the problem? What it tells me, that is how you solve your problem, but you do not personalize your feelings on the
school. Well, can I mention something to you? And this was a remarkable turning point in the history of my marriage. 3 years ago, we took a pretty good hit in the NASDAQ going down. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Qualcomm went from 170.
Well, whatever.
Well, anyway, we lost a lot of money. My wife promised it to me in ways that I could only imagine in a fever dream if I could increase my income by 25%. I did. Our sex life is better than ever.
Yeah, but the problem is you are an adult.
You are an adult.
Hold on, Love, okay, dear? 1-800-449-8686. Roland Schwinn, he promises kids sex for good SAT scores. We'll be right back.
800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And, of course, we are constructing some of the fantasy rooms that we'll be using.
So you already got it. It's a fait accompli. If kids get good scores in the SAT, they will be offered sex, sex with surrogates, or sex with other students if they want to have sex with other students. And you've got your wife involved in this?
No, my wife is not. That was a rumor that Candy was going to be involved, but she won't now.
What do you mean involved? Your wife having sex with students?
Yeah, is there something, what?
Well, that's your wife, man.
See, a moment ago, Mr. Hendry.
No, I don't even want to get into it with you. I want to go to a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. Linda.
There's a dungeon room.
Linda, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Linda. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to...
A little girl's room.
I have a message
office.
For this guy.
At a doctor's office.
Hello?
Yes, this is Roland Schwinn.
Linda, you got your radio turned... You have your radio...
Family?
You have your radio turned up. Turn it down, will you?
What redneck family
hey,
are
Linda,
you from?
Did you hear me?
Yes.
You turned your radio down?
I did.
Okay. Go ahead. Roland, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
What redneck family are you from? You're so backwards.
How about you practice that line for days, didn't you? What redneck family are you from? What redneck family are you from? You got it down now?
No. I'm not practicing it.
Oh, you're not?
You know what?
Say it again. I want to see if you did it right.
Never mind.
I have a message for you also.
I live in California. There are no rednecks here.
Oh,
we are the creme de la creme of the educational standard.
Oh.
Now, I don't know
where
you're from. And I don't know what you do, and I don't even know if you have children. But what we're trying to do is get kids educated so they don't wind up working a Waffle House like perhaps you do, Linda, or people that you know. What we are trying to do is elevate the educational standards of our children so that the first word
elevate
out their mouth
the standards
when they go to work
children?
Is, now we do have a side of hash browns for 35 cents extra, that kind of thing. We don't want to do that.
Oh, please.
Right.
I happen to be a doctor in Florida.
A doctor?
Okay?
I doubt it.
Oh, sure. I doubt that you are a headmaster of a school either. You know?
You want me to prove it to you?
All right, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
Is this the call you wanted me to take, this Linda? Linda, bye. 1-800-449-8686. Noel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yes,
I
fine.
I am just amazed by this. I cannot believe that you would, first off, have gall to say that an educator
I've been
has
nominated.
More pull. I don't care
I've
what you're nominated,
nominated
for.
I've been nominated for the national award.
I've been nominated for many national awards, but quite frankly, I wouldn't
claim
any.
And the
any
last
of them.
Lady I talked to was a doctor.
Excuse me?
And the last woman I talked to was a doctor. What I've been nominated for is the National North American Educator Council's
Future
Idea.
I know, you've said it a million times since I've been listening for the past half an hour.
Educators
I don't
around
care
around
what
us.
You're being paid.
So why should
you
I
should
even
not
be taking
teaching.
Phone calls from these people, Phil, when all educators agree with me?
Because maybe they're parents.
No, not all
their parents.
Educators agree with
most
you.
Educators agree with me. And if
no,
you can think
no,
of a better
no, no,
way
no.
to reward
I
a young person
I venture to say that most
sex,
educators do not agree with you.
Well, I would
you
venture to say
insane.
That you don't know what you're talking about. What, are you a teacher?
No.
Are you in the professional field?
Pardon?
Are you a teacher or in the professional field?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Schwinn,
groups of parents have been fighting to stop us from teaching evolution. They won't stop our grades for sex program.
Hey, Mr. Schwinn.
Yes, sir.
You at the beginning...
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
You do. All right. Then you think it should be taught in school, right?
Well, it depends on what the parent wants the student to learn. It's up
no,
to
no,
the
no, no, no. It's up to the teacher. Don't you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
All right.
But,
why,
I don't
why
push...
Not get
the,
it?
I,
then
I
if
don't
you
push
believe
my
in evolution, why
everybody?
Not logically believe that a kid should be allowed to have sex?
They neither one of them have anything to do with the other, okay?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, evolution, then kids should have sex.
Most of the people that are trying to keep us out, keep our teachings out of the school, are Bible-thumping Christians who think God went boom and everybody was born. Next thing you know, they don't want juniors to have sex in the schoolroom. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. All right, 1-800. Okay, that it. Okay. Well, Mr. Schwinn, good luck for your students, more so than for you, sir. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
That's tough. You're a teenager. You want more than anything. You want sex. And you can't have it. And for the rest of your life, you are going to be, if you're the male of the species, and of course, a guy like Roland Schwinn, this headmaster, he panders that kind of thing. But as a man, beginning at the age of 12, you begin to want sex, you'll always want sex, and you don't get to have it, okay? And if you can learn that one little rule, it's really a life that, I'm not going to say it's a great life, but it's a life you can just kind of settle down to the way one would imagine a pack mule settles down to his life. Just, you're a man, you are always horny, and you'll never really be able to do anything about it. All right. No, seriously, it's a tough thing, and I'm sorry? Okay, stand by, please. Station, stand by. Okay. I got to try and pull it together here, folks. I've just been handed some news, so excuse me for just a minute. I have to pull it together. I have just been handed some news. I am marking the time. It is 13 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock Pacific time. Associated Press, ladies and gentlemen, and please forgive me for having to hear this news from me. Associated Press is reporting that the number of small children killed by airbags has fallen in the past 5 years.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, that's right. Please, God, let me keep it together. Government statistics show there were 6 child deaths caused by airbags in the year 2000, and that has fallen now in the year 2001. Or, excuse me, 6, that's the statistic. So it's down from 25. Why? Please forgive the theatrics. I am told that we have Bob Bakey. And, Bob, you're going to have to bail me out on this one, man, because this has got to be a tough, tough day all the way around for so many people. Bob?
Right, you are, Phil. It is a very difficult day. A candlelight vigil has spontaneously broken out in downtown right now.
Well, the news that we've got, and we're just getting sketchy information, kids who are killed by accidental deployment of airbags has fallen.
That is the news, and a candlelight vigil has broken out for all children who will live as the result of airbags suddenly being safer. I talked to a gentleman on the street, a gentleman just like any of us, just moments ago, as I watched the crowd move along the sidewalk like ghosts shod with iron boots. And this is what he had to say.
Just the other day, I was riding with my son, and I thought, okay, now's my chance. And I ran the car into a wall, the airbag deployed, I pulled the bag away, and there he's still playing with a watch. And I got to ask myself, why would God allow him to live? Why?
And there you have it, Phil.
There's an awful lot of emotion out there, huh?
There is a lot of emotion as we find out now that you can't even lose your kid to a accidentally deployed airbag. Now you have to start thinking more creatively. Reporting for the Phil Hendry Show here above the candlelight vigil in downtown Los Angeles, this is Bob Bakey in the morning.
All right, Bob, thank you. We are getting all kinds of reaction here. Airbags accidentally deploying in the year 1996 killed 25 kids. In the same period, that the number of automobiles with airbags rose from 22 million to more than 80 million. According to Jim Tull, president of Parents in Favor of Faulty Airbags, we were losing kids at the rate of 50 a year, and now this. Mr. Tull is on the line with us from his office in, I believe it's Redondo Beach. Mr. Tull, thank you very much. Sir, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. What's going on? What happened?
I don't know. We saw the statistics. The airbags were deploying in a very faulty manner. We were smothering kids one a week. I can remember the good days. Now, you're talking about the glory days, 1985. I believe it was 95 when we lost 60 kids to airbags. Now, all of a sudden, we get a lot of these liberal Jews, if you'll pardon me.
Well, sir, let's not...
No, I'm going to say it. I want to say what I want to say. We got a lot of these guys in Washington now who suddenly say the airbags are unsafe. Of course they are. That was the point.
Right.
And so they're making the airbags safer, and I, for one, believe that we have got to,
back to the drawing board, huh?
Back to the drawing board. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what to say.
How are you guys handling it there at the Council for Bad Airbags?
Well, the Council for Bad Airbags is, we're stunned, all of us. Daisy Brown, who works in our office, just stumbled in with coffee, and she doesn't even know where the hell she is.
All right, well, I thank you very much for joining us at this late notice. Jim Tull with the Council for Bad Airbags. I don't want to stun you. I don't want to frighten you. But if you're just turning the radio on, we have gotten some shocking news. The number of small children killed by airbags is going down. And now let's take some calls here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over here to Redondo Beach. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Phil, I guess we'll see more Susan Smiths now. More parents going to jail because of this, right?
Probably.
God damn it, man. I mean...
Okay, watch your language, sir. All right, let's go over to another phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, that last caller kind of stole my thunder, Phil. First of all, great show.
Thank you.
Susan Smith stuck the kid in the car rolling into a lake.
That's right.
And she blamed on a black man.
That's right. Do you resent that?
No, as long as I'm not the black man she blamed on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she got caught. Now we come up with an airbag thing. Also, that ain't working.
You're right.
So how are we supposed to kill our kids? I can't take much more. I got an infant son. I'm getting no sleep. I was praying it might come to an end real soon as a result of falling airbag, crushing the skull, or some damn thing like that. What I got to do like that? Damn kid lied.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't, please.
All right. Thank you very much. As you see, people are incomprehensible. It's a difficult thing to recognize. We are joined now by Bob Bakian is back upstairs with the chopper. And, Bob, more reporting going on?
No doubt about it, Phil. As the news came down that children were not dying as often from faulty airbags, we have been able to confirm the worst. A woman has taken her own life. She jumped from the highest level of a hotel in Long Beach, just hit the pavement, just left her kid up there in a high chair. She was watching the news. She got the word that the airbags aren't doing it. She just said, okay, here, have this. Gave him some lunch and leapt. And I think we're going to be seeing...
Are we going to see a lot more of this?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, I have a kid, and I'm up pretty high right now, so excuse me. You'll pardon the theatrics.
Okay, so Bakian just jumped. So there you go, see? So kids aren't dying, and this whole thing sucks, man. It sucks! The number of small children killed by airbags has fallen sharply in the past 5 years, suggesting that parents are getting the message that children are safest when riding in the back seat. Yeah, sure. So now what they're doing, not even allowing the kid to sit in the front seat and pretend like he's driving the car. Now, this has been the fundamental right of every three-year-old since the beginning of automotive trafficking in this country, sitting in the front seat with a little plastic wheel and going, see, I'm steering the car. Now the kid doesn't get to, he's got to sit in the back seat. What filthy, obnoxious Nazism, fascism, Bolshevikism, Stalinism. No more kids on laps? At least 191 people, including 116 children, have been killed by the force of deploying airbags. You look at everything was going so good. The stock market had busted, what, 12,000? We had a NASDAQ around 5,000, 116 kids being crushed by airbags. Now it's all going to hell. Now everything's just dipping. NASDAQ, Dow, kids getting aced by an airbag. An airbag comes out of the dashboard at rates of up to 200 miles an hour. Now, that's cool. And if you haven't seen that happen, you're just letting the best part of the day pass you by. Little kids sitting there, plastic steering wheel. I go drive cars. Suddenly, wham, bag comes out like the Blob. You pull that bag away, kid ain't breathing. Boom, one problem solved. Now this... The government began allowing switches to deactivate airbags in 1995, and that was under Clinton. See, here again we have the problem, Clinton. Once again, this liberal president, Clinton. And he and his liberal, gay, Jewish, fag friends pushed through legislation to allow switches to deactivate airbags. And the next thing you know, kids are living. See, this is the government once again interfering with our rights. And I know that I talk about this a lot on the program, me being the conservative that I am. I mean, next thing you know, we're here. We're going to hear that putting kids in the front bucket seat without a seatbelt is like, you know, is bad. Since when? I got a Corvette. I got a 1998 Corvette. 370 horse. It's a beautiful thing. I get out on the freeway, and I got to move, friend. Cop, passenger car, Volvo station wagon. I don't get out of my way. And when I put my 9-year-old daughter in the bucket seat next to me, she ain't wearing no seatbelt. Because I can tell you something right now, my man. I'm up the 101, and I hit that turn up there near Camarillo, and I hit the brakes. And you see a kid flying through a windshield. Oh, God, it's beautiful. But not anymore. Here's another thing that I think Clinton has bothered us with. It used to be you could leave your kid in a car seat sitting on the roof of your car and just take off and start driving. Since when all of a sudden is that against the law? Well, I'll tell you since when. Clinton! Thank God we got a conservative Republican in there, because these liberals deactivating airbags and you can't even leave a kid in a car seat on the roof? I was with a friend of mine one time and he had his kid in a car seat on the roof and he took off, the thing went bouncing down the street. It was fantastic! Well, it's going to take some time, but I know that President Bush can push back all of these things, and pretty soon we're going to see those kids, you know, bouncing off of car roofs again. We're going to see just the airbag, man, just taking them out. It's going to be a nice thing. The Airbag and Seatbelt Safety Campaign, financed by auto, airbag, and big money interests, has surveyed drivers since 1998 about airbags. 2001 survey, 600 drivers released Thursday, found for the first time that none who had a passenger side airbag had reported placing a child under 5 in the front seat. And the news just gets more depressing. It used to be that you could take a child of 5 and stick him not just in the front seat, you could stick him under the dashboard and put another kid in the front seat too. And remember the good old days of riding around in your truck and putting your kids in the bed of the truck? Remember that, yeah? No, can't do that anymore. Yesterday, my wife takes off with our car. All we got left is my truck. I got 4 kids I got to take to school. What, am I supposed to stick them in my lap? I can put them in the bed of the truck, get them up to school, hopefully, if I don't take that turn up there too, you know, tight. And that's always a consideration. But no, I can't do that anymore. Oh, by the way, Bob Bakian isn't dead. So what happened, Bob? I thought you'd killed yourself or something, right?
No, I'm back here, Phil. I bounced off the pavement. I'll be back next hour.
Okay, Bob's not dead. He bounced off the pavement. Must have been an airbag.